Listen, I have your now. There's no escape for you this time.
Oh, yeah? How about if we go here? That might change your mind. A little forearm effect.
No, not the Omnitrix.
Aw, oh, man, it changed into a nerd.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Folks, this is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Did you see a little boy come running through here, look like a nerd?
Over there, in the media corner.
Yeah, that's him.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for March 26, 2008. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey there. I'm trying to get my son changed back to normal form.
You gotta find some kind of crazy zappy device thingy.
Zappy to timey wobbly thingy.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you'd catch that.
He'll be okay. He'll change back here soon.
Oh, is there like a timeout, like a password, bad password logout thing?
You ever watch Ben 10?
No, I have to say I'm not a big Ben 10 watcher.
Oh. Well, you know, Ben 10, he's got this watch-looking thing. It's stuck on his arm called the Omnitrix. Well, he turns into it, you know, it allows him to turn into 10 different aliens and do whatever, you know. And it has a timeout, of course. But that's what the joke was on the intro, that Harrison says, oh, man, it turned me into a nerd. Because sometimes it has a mind of its own and it changes it to an alien that he didn't really choose. So,
anyway. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
All right, coming up in tonight's show, we've got robots in space. We've got great sci-fi authors in space. And the caffeine thing continues with a coffee printer. All that and more after this.
All right.
On this day in tech history for March 26, 2008. This is March 26th. This is the 86th day of the year. Say it with me. In the Gregorian calendar, there are just 280 days remaining until the end of 2008. It was on this date in 1484 that William Caxton printed his translation of Aesop's Fables. Utrecht University is founded in the Netherlands on this date in 1636. And it was that same date in 1812 that an earthquake destroyed Caracas, Venezuela. The driving test is introduced in the United Kingdom on this date in 1934. And it was March 26, 1953 that Jonas Salk announces his polio vaccine. The United States Army launches Explorer 3 50 years ago today. The Biological Weapons Convention enters into force on this date in 1975. And it was 1 year later in 1976 that Queen Elizabeth II sent out the first royal email from the Royal Signals and Radar Establishment. Also on March 26, 1999, the Melissa worm infects Microsoft Word processing and email systems around the world.
Where were you?
Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1753 to American physicist and inventor Benjamin Thompson. American mathematician and navigation expert Nathaniel Bowditch was born on this date in 1773. Bernard Katz, the German biophysicist and Nobel laureate, was born on this date in 1911. Happy birthday on this date in 1913 to Paul Erdős, the Hungarian mathematician. Also born on March 26th, Christian B. Enfinson, the American chemist, was born on this date in 1916. Italian physicist Oscar Sala turns 86 today. And actor and director Leonard Nimoy turns 77.
Oh, dip!
Dip indeed.
physicist and Nobel laureate Anthony James Leggett turns 70 today. Actor James Caan is celebrating his 68th birthday. British evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins turns 67. And finally, celebrating his 43rd birthday today would be Chuck Tomasi.
That would be you, stupid.
Oh, yeah, right. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 26, 2008.
Hi, this is John Bell from Bells in the Battery, along with...
Hi, I'm Miss Schmackelheimer, Miss Sadie Schmackelheimer.
And you're listening to Technorama.
I'm not saying that.
You gotta say it, it's their slogan.
I don't care.
You've got to say that's the whole idea behind doing this.
I'm not saying that, it's stupid.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Get your geek on.
That wasn't so hard, was it? 101.
Welcome back to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. Get your geek on. Boy, she wouldn't say that, and I'm not so thrilled about the chat room tonight.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad that she would, she at least said that, you know, as opposed to the other things that we had lined up for her to say. So at least she got something.
Can I cheat and just say there's 24 people in the chat room tonight, or am I going to have to go through this?
Yeah, that's it. Let's move along.
Oh, man, this is like taking bad medicine tonight.
No. They're all yelling at us in this in the chat room.
Claudio M. Captain, pronounce this.
I think he's Italian.
G-Drage, Heat Blast SB. Juslopopfigatus, K-Pace, Craig Spielenrivtim, Mad Marv. I got that one. Mr. Grafratian to make it for. I think these are German. Is 10 a vowel or a noun? Mr. Pretendism. Nazgblurks. Pighammer.
Hey, women, I like that. Pighammer.
QWERTYIOPASDF. Hey, they just went across the keyboard. That's not even fair.
Yeah, QWERTY.
Sesquipellen. Sesquippenallen.
Alien.
Tell me a hot height. What's me Perkinhall? I think I had a subscription to that once. A prescription.
No, you had a prescription to get rid of that.
Was it Perkinhall?
Yeah.
I was wanting to make a headache medicine. Now with Darnitol.
Oh, I got some. No, I'm not going to share those on here. Okay.
Wolf and Bad Neck Fat. That. Fat. Something. Zuler Perfitikazi. Ah, now we're into Icelandic. Jurgo Floppenshep.
Swedish.
No, that almost sounds more like one of those commercials for the men.
You know what? That's the same name I saw on the fake American Express card when they show the commercial.
Ah. Okay.
You know what this was like?
Do
Chuck,
I pass?
You know what this is like? You know, reading all these names, you know what this was like? It's like going through one of those neighborhoods where they got all those long speed bumps. It slowed everything down.
reminds me of trying to read On This Day in Tech History. Happy birthday goes out on this day to Jurgen Verver. Yeah. We'll go with that. Who's going to tell me I'm wrong?
Yeah. Especially if you put him in the dead pile.
Can we go to the birthday calendar? It's easier and shorter.
Yeah. Yes, and let me be the first to say, happy birthday, Chuck.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Even though I was a day early, Chuck Tomasi is number... Well, I won't give your age.
I'm no longer the magic number to life, the universe, and everything.
Oh, moving on up.
I'm officially 46. An old man. No, Donna gave me a haircut this weekend and made sure to point out that I have gray hair showing now.
Oh.
That was nice of her.
Thanks, dear.
And this past week, I kid you not, I got my application to AARP.
Oh, come on.
No, I kid you not. I am officially old.
I guess you can't join that until you're 50.
Well, I thought you joined when you were 55.
Yeah, or something like that.
I don't know. Oh, they're sending my 14-year-old daughter applications for driving lessons in college.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What you know, I know kind of what AARP is. What is that? What are they?
I think it's because she's got that advanced math class that something got screwed up along the way.
Yeah. What is AARP?
AARP is the Association of American Association of Retired Persons.
Well, you're not retired nor 50.
Yeah, but I can get discounted menus at restaurants.
Oh my gosh, this is sad. Well, you
bring
know,
bring me some more bacon.
Hey, we'll get this. Last Friday, I took Harrison to an Easter party at his for his school at his teacher's house. So we're outside. I'm taking pictures and stuff, and they have a tree in the back with a rope, and they're swinging on it. So I walk over to the kids. It's like, hey, I want to do that. And I'm not really going to. You know, I just want to play with them. Hey, I want to do that. No, no grown-ups allowed. Oh, man, that's below the belt right there. And then she has a basketball goal out front, and I'm just shooting with a couple of the small kids, and I'm cheering them on. I'll show you, old man. It's like, where did I get this from?
Sir.
I'm going to sir you in a minute.
All right, that takes care of the chat room and the birthday calendar. No, we didn't do the birthday calendar yet. It's me. All three of these are on the 26th. Me, Harrison Licata from Mico, which is a suburb of San Antonio, according to the wiki.
Yeah.
Also on the 26th is Brina Baird in Hampton, Virginia. So happy birthday to all of us and Leonard Nimoy and James Caan. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, visit the wiki at technorama.wetpaint.com or whoa, where did that come from?
You mean do this, old man?
Chuckchat.com/technorama. No,
the
slash
voice
wiki.
Is the first thing to go.
Whatever. We got other stuff to do here. We also want to see you in the chat room and on the audio stream on Sunday nights. Check it out on the website. Hey,
by the way, if anybody wants to get Chuck something, go look on his Amazon wish list. There's a couple of walkers on there I think he would be really happy with.
You know, I haven't updated my Amazon wish list in a long time. It might be time to revisit that.
Yeah, put the walker on there.
All right.
But first, the news.
First in the news,
astronauts install robot on IIS. The first bit of feedback was probably started.
Not IIS.
Oh, wait. They installed the web server on that?
Yeah. The acronyms are the first thing to go.
I was trying to say that they installed the robot, and the first bit of feedback was it was promptly asking for Sarah Connor.
Put it on IIS, it's probably going to crash.
Yeah. Where's Sarah Connor? Poof, blue screen.
This from Gizmodo.com. After three spacewalks, Dexter, the robot that will now service the International Space Station, that's usually abbreviated as ISS, has been completed today and is now ready for activation. I was watching it live on NASA TV and grabbed these shots. Yes, I am that sad. Just reading it off of Gizmodo.
That's some good, pretty cool pictures on there. You know, I kept thinking about this. I kept saying, if it's IIS, why wouldn't they go with Apache? It was free.
They have to put Apache on the heat shields.
Yeah.
<Ba-doom-tsh>.
Anyway, the robot's cool. Doesn't have eyes, though, or does it?
This from Douglas down under in Australia. He writes that the Australian Heritage Computers is facing the scrap heap. There's a whole bunch of heritage computers. Museums around the world could lose access to some of the oldest computer relics if storage space can't be found for them by the 1st of April. This is the Australian version of the Computer History Museum, and they don't have space, and they're running out, and they got some good stuff.
You know, maybe that. Why don't they hook up with the one in San Francisco?
Well, it says, despite approaching the National Trust of Australia, New South Wales government departments, City of Sydney Council, University of Sydney's Powerhouse Museum, there's still no home for the collection. The Computer History Museum in California has been in touch with us to get copies of circuit diagrams for early IBM computers that were saved at the University of Sydney, and we still have them. So we were able to copy and send them. They've been in touch with them, but the cost of shipping that stuff overseas has got to be incredible.
Well, I was thinking more of a cooperation rather than relocating it.
To make it, instead of make the Computer History Museum a worldwide thing.
Yeah, why not? And you know, maybe. Why not? Because
They still got to find the space. This is worldwide.
There's more than just computers in America, really. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I know what. What?
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know what I think we should do? Go down there and visit our Australian friends and go to this computer history museum, this particular Australian computer history museum.
Go see Douglas and Philip and, yeah, never mind the fact that they're thousands of miles apart.
Well, it's on the map, it doesn't look that big.
Yeah, and neither does the U.S., right? That's great. We're coming to California, and you live in Chicago. Can you come see us while we're there?
Me and you, if you zoom out enough on Google Maps, we're only 4 or 5 inches apart.
Keep zooming, buddy. Keep zooming.
Until I bump into the moon.
Our final bit of news is a bit sad. Arthur C. Clarke has passed away as of 19th of March.
Yes.
Died at the age of 90.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I watched a video, forget where it was linked at. I'll see if I can find it, stick it in the show notes. But the video was recorded just before his 90th birthday. And it was talking about him, what he was thinking. It was a video of him talking about what some of his accomplishments were and what he would hope for some of the future, which was, I thought, kind of interesting that it would come out now. It was right, you know, made right around his 90th birthday. Apparently he knew he was sick or something, I
the
guess.
The chat room is slapping me on the back of my hand. Sesquippenallen reminded me, yes, it is Sir Arthur C. Clarke. He was knighted in 1998.
That's right.
So, apologies.
Yeah. Who are you, Chuck?
There's one interview we will never get.
No, that would have been fun. That would have been fun to talk to.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Caffeine is my shepherd. I shall not doze. It maketh me productive in wee hours. It leadeth me beyond the yawning masses. It restoreth my buzz. It leadeth me into paths of consciousness for its name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of addiction, I will fear no equal. For thou art with me, thy cream and thy sugar, they comfort me. Thou preparest a carafe before me in the presence of Juan Valdez. Thou anointest my day with pep, my mug runneth over. Surely richness and taste shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Maxwell forever. Amen.
Hey guys, this is Brewmaster Dave from the Britain Yankee.
Hey guys, this is Mark in Memphis.
Hey Chuck and Craig, this is Matt.
Hey Chuck, Craig, Zahadim.
This is Claudio.
Blake from Ottawa here.
This is Scott Reynolds.
This is JT from the Geekcast.
Hey Chuck and Craig, Christmas Seattle calling.
Hey guys, it's Bruce.
Let your voice be heard. Call the Technorama listener line at 206-222-2428.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
What happened to Lenny? I don't know. I don't know. We'll catch him next time.
I think he's on spring break or Easter holiday or something. Wow.
He's living it up in Fort Lauderdale.
Who gave him the night off?
I'm sorry. I'm going to spit water out of my nose. We were just saying on the little clip that you heard just a moment ago, I should have put Bruce on there three times. Hey, this is Bruce. This is Bruce. This is Bruce. Because how many times he calls him. So I heard, this is Bruce. This is Bruce. This is Bruce. This is Clinton.
All right. This comes to us from listener Tom. Interesting uses for the Wiimote. We like the Wiimote.
Yes, we do.
I ran across some of the work of Johnny Lee while listening to Phil Windley's Technometria. We might have to get after them for name infringement. You can read and listen to more on the Conversations
Release
Network.
Release the dogs of lawyers. The lawyers, the hounds.
Great resource of ideas and material. Can I keep reading here? Or yeah, you can click on the link above Johnny's website at Carnegie Mellon. Because the Wiimote has Bluetooth built in and an infrared camera, you can interact with it via your computer, reverse its normal gaming orientation to the TV, and expose a whole new range of potentials. He's got some direct links of things you can do. Tracking fingers with the remote. Folding displays tracked with the
remote. Yeah, we've seen this guy. We've talked about some of the things he's done before. Remember he had put tape on the tips of his fingers so it would reflect very well.
I didn't see that one.
We talked about it, man.
The low-cost multi-touch whiteboard. Wow.
You know, he was talking about, he had the little, the bar.
Yeah.
And he put the remote pointing towards you, and you would put like a reflector on your finger so it would go back
towards the TV. That's not the one we had with the reflectors on the glasses or the hat or something, was it? Where you could move same in thing. And out?
I think it's the same thing. Head okay. tracking, right there. Head tracking for desktop VR. Yeah, he's the same. This guy's been doing several different projects with this.
So where are the games? Where are the games, man?
they're from Nintendo. You play them, you buy them off the shelf and play them on the Wii.
And not the kind that have this cool interactive 3D stuff.
Oh, well, true. I don't know, man. We'll start writing.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Like, I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
All right. Did you put this Aptera in there?
I did. And this is a new car that this company in California is looking to make. And it looks futuristic. It looks like a Cessna, you know, without the wings and the engine. Actually, you know what? It reminds me of, it reminds me of something out of Logan's Run or one of those futuristic shows where they try to make a car, you know, that looks like it's a real thing, but it's just a fake car.
This does look very concept car-like.
But if you go look at the video, it's very interesting the way it rides. The guy says it's very stable because it's got a wide wheelbase in the front, mm-hmm. one wheel in the back. The wing has gull wing looking doors, kind of like the DeLorean or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets some great gas mileage. I think it looks cool. And you know what else is interesting? The day that JT and Scott from the Gigcast had sent me a link to this, and the day I was looking at this, I saw some pictures. It was some spy pictures from the next Star Trek there on the set.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the pictures, you know, there are all these people are standing around in uniforms out in a courtyard of a university or something, I guess, to look like Starfleet Academy. But in the background was a car, and I kept thinking, well, that's a futuristic looking car. What was this one?
Really?
It was this car. Yeah, it was this car in the movie. So, which I thought was interesting. It just took me a little bit to put, you know, one to one. So cost, I don't know what, I think it said like $35,000, which isn't bad. It's good gas mileage.
Is it? It's a gas car?
I think they have a total electric one coming, and they also have a hybrid one coming. Of course, you get more mileage, distance rather, from the gas one, plus you don't have to worry about running out. But if you're doing just commuter stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, electric one should do fine.
Okay.
So, looks pretty cool.
Listener Tanya sent us, that's Tanya from Dancing with Elephants, yay, sent us a link to the coffee printer. Yeah, the caffeine thing's not done yet. I read this from device.com, which is the sci-fi channel site. Actually, I saw an advertisement for that on TV now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Their eye is upside down like Citrix. This guy took like a pen plotter, only mm-hmm. extended, instead of running over paper, he extended it out into space in front of the plotter.
Mm-hmm.
And filled one of the little hoppers with some sort of edible ink. And this thing will run around. They've got a cup of cappuccino underneath with a nice frothy top. And it draws the Starbucks logo into the foam.
Wow.
You got to watch the video.
It had to be some thick and creamy type foam, I guess, to get it to stay once you print to it.
It doesn't really stay. It kind of stains the foam as it flows through.
Well, you know what's interesting? I'm watching it now. As soon as it does print,
mm-hmm.
you know, it looks good clean. Of course, you're right. It starts to spread after a little bit. That's pretty right. neat. Is it not puffs of air or is it ink?
It's kind of like a dark ink. If you watch real close, that little hopper has a kind of a fluid in it.
So when you go to Starbucks, now it'll take them 5 minutes to print the logo on your 1 or 30 second latte.
You know, they'll charge you more for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, all you're going to do is mix it up and drink it.
Right.
Yeah. Fun project, waste of time. Well, let me back up. He made it himself. It's not a waste of time.
And finally, in the Hacks and Strange story, a link from East Bay Ant. He sends us Carl Zimmer's Science Tattoo Emporium. Now, these are sweet people just geeky enough to get science tattoos. One has the whole nitrogen cycle about horse eats the plants and, you know, does what a horse does, and the plants grow off of that. Another one has the periodic table elements for thorium, indium, and potassium, which spell out think. Somebody's got their physics equations on their forearms. Looks like a cheat sheet to me.
If I was to get a tattoo, there would be two things I would want. All right. One of them would be the little planet with the tongue sticking out like on the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Another thing would be I'm a big Escher fan, M.C. Escher.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want the Escher print with the hand holding the globe, but that would be
that go each way. One lady got her maiden name when she got married. She wanted to remember who she was, so she got her maiden name in binary ASCII on her forearm.
Sweet.
But my favorite, I think, has to be the dinosaurs. There's a guy who's got a couple of Deinonychus on his shoulder. Or is this a girl? I can't tell.
I see some binary on here.
Oh, it says Jeremiah, and it looks like a real black and white print, you know, 3D black and white print was put on her arm. It does. That's awesome.
It is awesome. You know, tattoos are not for me, but at the same time, I can appreciate really good art, and that's art.
Really
that's nice.
Good art. Yep.
Yeah, it is. So what tattoo would you get if you were to get one?
You mean if they didn't hurt?
Weenie. Yeah. If you were to get a tattoo, what would it be?
I don't know. I'd have to think.
Well, we ain't got all year.
You're catching me off guard. I haven't given it any thought. And I was going to get something that permanent, I would have to think about a long, hard time.
Well, the only reason I had an answer is because I know a lot of people with tattoos. So,
and what would you
get?
I
like the Darwin at the bottom there, huh?
You'd get the Darwin one?
No, I think I like the Darwin here on the site. There's a monkey with Darwin's head and beard. It's below the dinosaur one.
Lovely.
Anyway, why don't the listeners call in if they've got a geeky tattoo? Tell us what it is. Or if you had your choice to get a tattoo, whether you want one or not, let us know what it would be.
A 101?
There you go. Yeah, 101. No, or would we have to fix that according to everybody's determination of what 101 is that we've been talking about? 1101.
Make it what you want. All right, we're going to take another quick break and we will be right back.
What's a podcast? Sprechen to me. And that's VNC 101 O-N equals to something. Like we've mentioned. So I don't know. Wait a minute. If I lost my train of thought. Crap. We've been partying the night before, and I'm seeing candy drops coming out of the sky, and I blame the listener.
Technorama, you know what you can do with it.
Just download it.
Kilroy 2.0 is here. Kilroy 2.0 is everywhere. Kilroy 2.0 commands that you listen to Technorama. Do you comply?
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And listener Lingo writes us and says, the BBC has a great article over at bbc.co.uk about remembering the BBC Micro.
Wow.
Darren Waters at the BBC writes, anyone over 30 is sure to feel a nostalgic glow whenever the BBC Micro is mentioned. You know, I have to admit, I'm over 30 and I don't get that nostalgic glow.
No, this is a new one for me. I don't know. As a matter of fact, today he's even more over 30.
Sure. Yeah. And so are you. What's your point?
Yeah. Well, the point is I can pick on you today.
For almost the whole of the 1980s, the Beeb, as it was known, was one of the main ways people in the UK accessed computer technology. It seems incredible now that the BBC, a broadcaster, partnered with a technology company and put its name on a machine at a time when computers were such an unknown entity. I can't imagine that happening today. But then again, the BBC's involvement with Freeview picking up the pieces from ITV Digital has been arguably as forward-thinking. This is a very interesting computer. It almost looks like kind of like a cross between an Atari and an Apple.
Or a Commodore.
Tandy. Yeah, it's got
it looks like a mix between a Commodore and an Apple. Well, Apple, I'm sorry, Commodore and Atari, because Atari had that color scheme, but a Commodore had this type of keyboard.
I'm surprised we didn't see one of these at the, or maybe we just didn't know what we were looking at.
Yeah, that was probably it. I haven't seen this before. This is a new one on me.
This is a new one.
Yeah. Now, hey, have you seen that movie, The Good Shepherd?
No. Does it have anything to do with Mark Shepherd?
No, thank God. Anyway, no, it does not. The movie has Matt Damon in it, and he's at the cusp of them starting off the CIA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking with a Russian counterpart, or is it German at that point? I can't remember. But anyway, they're negotiating some information, a prisoner exchange or something like that. So they're sitting there at a teletype, you know, and the head of it's going waiting for information to come across, mm-hmm. Then it starts typing. And I was thinking, wow, look, it's like early IM. Tell him we will give five prisoner, you know, the guy types it in, and it's like, and then the response would come over in a minute. And I was like, it is IM. It is. It was.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was funny. Is that what it is? A teletype? Is that what that was?
No, this was an actual computer. It had graphics and everything.
No. I'm sorry. Not that. I'm talking about what I'm describing.
A teletype that goes, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the head's kind of bobbing and nothing's coming across until data starts coming. And then it starts, you know, moving across, but it's just sitting there waiting. Does that make sense?
It kind of looks like a printer, yes.
Yeah, I haven't really messed with teletypes. I know what they are, but...
Oh, quit trying to act like you're younger than you are. Old man.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it was a teletype. There we go. I'm looking at a picture of it on Wikipedia. Yeah, that's about what they had.
All right, we've got... we're going to move on to the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
I'm just going to go right into playing these things.
Okay, go for it. Just going to give it
Jeremy
once everyone
sends us more XP and Vista sounds to make music. These are on YouTube. We'll have links in the show notes, of course. This is music using only sounds from Windows XP and Vista. These would actually be really fun to use in a sweeper somewhere.
It's not bad. Now this is, okay, of course somebody pieces together, right?
Yeah.
It's got a nice beat. I think I can dance to it.
It does. I'm kind of dancing out here now. This one goes on for 2 minutes.
Nobody's at the house, right, Chuck?
Woo! Yeah, but the Ustream thing is on. All right, let's put a pause on that one. You kind of get the idea of that one. There's another one here that he sent us as well. Windows Rhapsody. This one's kind of weird.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
No, yeah. This one's got very beautiful pictures that go along with it.
Sounds cool.
I don't know where they got that bass.
Wait a minute. You know what that song sounds like?
What's that?
What is that? It's from the 70s.
This does sound very 70s, doesn't it?
Hold on, I'm trying to think what it is.
This is the news thing.
This just in from the Technorama News Desk.
I'm trying to picture what the song was. I'll think of it later. Yeah, they're using the Windows wallpapers, too.
Beautiful. Is this Windows wallpapers?
I think so.
The fish and the moon and the sand dunes.
Yeah. See,
must be something
from Windows.
But this is, I never saw any of these wallpapers in XP.
Really?
Yeah.
It's there. Okay, that now just went into crazy crap. I don't know.
Crazy crap.
Did they have me at first? No, it's...
I think he sent me another video. Let me put that one on pause. Another video that had complete instructions on how you can drill into /system32/OOBE/images/title.wma and find this little piece of work. Do you recognize this tune?
Like some from the 80s.
You can just chill out to this. You know what it is?
What is that?
I've heard it. I recognized it right away. This is the install music.
Oh.
So the funny thing is, most people, when they're installing, don't have the audio drivers loaded yet, so they're never, yeah, they'll never hear this.
I don't think I have. only thing I've ever heard is that at the end, you know, when it's done installing and the welcome comes up thing. You know what's sad is when I saw that in there, I went, oh, I'll go, wait, I don't have it in Windows installed to go check it. Which is a good thing.
Tell you what, I'm going to leave that running while we jump ahead a segment here.
Okay. So, Chuck, what do you got to say for yourself? Chuck!
What's up with that?
There you go.
I just have a quick note to let you know that I was poking around in Mozilla Thunderbird, and there is an option in there that says, when you're arranging the headers, you want to see who it's from and who it's to, although they call it sender and recipient rather than from and to.
Right.
There's an option in there when you pull down the headers that says restore natural order, which I thought was very handy. If Mozilla Thunderbird is so powerful that it can restore the natural order of things.
So if we start cloning and screwing around with natural evolution.
And if you get
evolution,
it wrong, just use Thunderbird to restore the natural order. Right.
Yeah. Even Microsoft doesn't have that feature.
Yeah, I think it's a great feature.
Restore natural order.
I just cracked up when I saw that menu option.
That's pretty fun.
Go right-click on the headers and pull those suckers down, and you'll see restore natural order. Who thought of that?
Thanks, Mozilla team.
Yeah, you're great.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. You know, I'm kind of digging this music as bed music on this show.
I know.
This works well. I hope Microsoft
kind of
doesn't come after
thing
us
out. Okay, let's turn it off. You're mailing me out, man.
Nah, keep going.
I can't. Okay, I'm going to mute you while I... Anyway, in the Geek Library, we have some cool stuff. Library.
From Dee Dee over at theologyweb.net. Come on, we played their ads for like 2 months.
I know. Well, this is R2-D2 trash can for nerds.
I like it. The coolest,
who else would it be for?
The coolest gifts at thecoolestgifts.com. Who else would it be for? I don't know. Maybe for Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I can see getting this for my wife.
Here, honey.
Happy Mother's Day.
There's some other gifts on here. The most popular gifts this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. All right, you're warned. If you go to this site...
Wait a minute. Now, I clicked on the drinker, right? And I go over there, and it says the beer belly. You know, it's one of those sling things you put over yourself so you can sneak beer into an event. Well, what if you already have a beer belly?
Yeah.
Just flip it around to the back?
Stinks to be you, I guess. I got one that says, great idea for a high-tech prank. Okay, with April...
Hey, here's the other thing. Hey, here's the other thing. There's a girl doing a shotgun drink. Yeah, that'll happen.
With April Fool's coming up quickly, this would be a great little gadget to pick up. It's called the Phantom Keystroker. All you have to do is plug it into a USB port on your victim's computer, PC or Mac, and sit back and wait for them to get annoyed. There are 3 settings. You can have the mouse randomly move around, have it type out garbage text instead of whatever they're typing, or both. Just $25. Wow, that's a great gift.
You can do that for free. Just, you know, sign them up for some email, spam email, and get a virus.
Install gator.com.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, I remember, what was that? What was that thing with the purple ape? It was kind of like gator.com, but it was, you install it, it had this little purple ape that would sit on your screen, and I had so many people, this is so cute.
Yeah.
But it was like, had malware all over it. Remember what that was?
No, not offhand. I remember what it was, but I don't remember what it was called.
Okay.
Okay, over to Boing Boing. You put this in here.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Over on Boing Boing, they had this killer Star Wars 70s van. It was a 1977 Dodge Tradesman van.
Oh, my.
It's available on eBay. I don't know that the auction is still there. Actually, I'll click on it and we'll look at it in a minute. The van appears to be pretty much falling apart. Well, it's sad. You know what it reminds... I'm sorry, I'll tell you what it reminds me of in a minute. Sadly, perhaps that's why the bids haven't gone over $1,000, but a really nice paint job, though. And it's a shame that this painted van is going to fall out of favor. It's kind of sad, because there was some really cool 70s art on some of those vans.
Oh, yeah.
But you know this reminds me of?
An album cover?
No, what's that commercial where all the... the cell phone network guys are standing in front of the van and they conjure out the wizard.
Oh, yeah.
Pull Darth Vader out. Hey, Chad, here's Vader. Get him now. Hey, the van's only up to, the winning bid was $1,175.
It did go over $1,000. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's got pictures of the internals. Cool. Let's see. It's got a sweet bar and a sink on the inside.
You ever take it off any sweet jumps?
Probably good.
Also over at Boing Gadgets, we have African scrap metal toys. AfriGadget has a few pictures of handmade toys from Kenya and Ghana, including these scooters that ingeniously use spray can tops as wheels. Well, they're tiny.
Yeah, they are very tiny.
Oh, okay, because they're toys.
Yeah. Yeah, hello.
I'm with it. African scrap metal toys. Got
you know
it.
This is like those little things that people make with tin cans, like a wind chime type thing. It kind of spins in the air. And
I like these better than the wind chimes.
Yeah, these are cool.
They are.
Look the spray can. If you look at the motorcycle, look at the wheels. They're the tops to the spray cans.
That's what it said.
Oh.
Including these scooters that ingeniously use spray can tops as wheels.
And over at the BBC, we have... Well, actually, I put this in here because I went looking around on my for my Nokia N810.
Yep.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr. sorry.
Someone's having fun.
Do you have Carl's Jr. around your place?
No. Can we go on? Okay.
Anyway, Brad, or we'll get it. Anyway, I was looking to put some Infocom games on my Nokia N810 because I thought while I was on the bus, you know, I might play a couple of the old games I never got to play. So I went, I found an interpreter for the Infocom games I could play. Well, in doing so, I found out that over at the BBC, they had a 20th anniversary version of the Hitchhiker's Guide. The Infocom game on the BBC site. However, breaking apart from the Infocom, you know, Infocom was big on no graphics, your mind is your greatest graphics card, and, you know, it's a text adventure. Mm-hmm. But they have graphics to go along with this, which actually, I think, harkens to some of the artwork that they had in the show and stuff like that, or the animations that were in the Hitchhiker's book, you know, when they showed on the screen, like the Babelfish and all that stuff in the show. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go play it. You'll see some of these little animations and diagrams and stuff, and you'll see a picture of Author's room as you're trying to get up out of bed and turn the light on and
cute.
See the bulldozers. What's that?
Cute.
It is pretty neat. So those are in Java. But and if you want to know how to play the Infocom games on your computer, let me know. I'll hook you up.
That reminds me. I was watching Mythbusters the other night, and they were doing the one with Ben Franklin getting electrocuted. Yes. And at one point, they had a Van de Graaff generator with the big, you know, silver sphere. And I think, who was it? Tori put it on his head, you know, said, take me to your leader. And I thought he looked more like, not Arthur, Marvin. He looked more like Marvin from the movie.
Oh, really? I'm so depressed.
Just walking around.
The brain the size of a planet, and this is what all I do. That's pretty funny.
All right, that's going to take us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, don't forget the Technorama Challenge. Try to go without caffeine until, what did we say, April 5th, midnight?
Oh, I thought we were done. I'm chugging our way.
No.
No. I'm going to go through this week and then call it quits because I'm ready to start drinking some more caffeine.
Oh, it's going to hit you like a ton of bricks.
It might. I don't know because I'm not feeling anything different being off of it.
He's immune.
Immune. Well, even Clinton from Comedy Forecast, he said, I was off caffeine and I didn't really notice anything. I'm telling you, I don't really drink that much. It helps, maybe gets a little jump start in the morning, but that's about all there is to it, really, for me.
Okay. Can I finish the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
Fine. 45 minutes, and you said we don't go over that.
Oh, well, you know, I can edit it down, and we can just say, hey, everybody, hello, goodbye. What's your one?
Call the listener line if you've got comments about this show, 206-222-CHAT. This is an interactive forum, and we love to hear from you, 206-222-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. If you've got a microphone, pick it up, send us an audio clip, and we will be encouraged to play it. We won't promise anything.
Encouraged to play it.
Visit the website at chuckchat.com.
We're talking to you, Bruce.
Or if you're feeling financially irresponsible, there's a donation in the tip jar. You can give a one-time donation or monthly micropayments. What?
Frivolous?
I said financially irresponsible.
Irresponsible, frivolous, giving.
Without budgetary constraint.
There you go.
Or
does that mean wife? Does that mean wife?
Yeah. If you can't get clearance from the CFO, the financial officer of your family, you can always write a review on the iTunes Music Store. Add us as a favorite in Podcast Pickle. Vote for us on Podcast Alley or one of the other many podcast directories around the podosphere. We want to thank the following people for all of their time and talent to help keep Technorama going. Mad Marv for all of his great blog content during the week. Scott Reynolds and Ustream, who keep our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. We'd like to see you there. We'd like to see you in the chat room, too. irc.freenode.net. Channel name is Pound Technorama, or you can go to chuckchat.com/webcam and get all the information you need from there. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media. Find our show and all of the other great audio content at farpointmedia.net. That takes care of it for this week. We love you. We love you because you listen to this show. And we want you to tell other people so we can love them too. Till next time,
yeah.
A binary high five.
What, 0-1? Hey, I love you.
Kill him now.
Oh. Golly, man, you get older and now you're violent.